guys. Welcome back to Uncommon Faith. I'm Amber.
And I'm Ashley.
Are you the Ashley?
I'm the Ashley You're Reed the here Ashley. At the Uncommon Faith podcast. Gosh. Yeah. Hey, how you doing? I see half your face.
Ha. I'm good. I'm good as it's going to get.
Still, we see half your face.
That's what you get.
Amber doesn't sit in chairs anymore.
Nope, I sure don't.
She just... Nope. Nope. Who needs chairs? Like,
I who needs them? I love the floor because I can get up off of it now. I remember when I first came home from the hospital, I kept begging for someone to let me just sit on the floor. Please, I just want to sit on the floor. My mom's like, you're not allowed to sit on the floor. I'm like, why not? Because you can't get back up.
Well, that's what she was there for. She's like, let me sit there, and then you can come back and get me. She's like,
how are we going to do that?
Just prop.
I'm like, I'm telling you, I can do it. I figured out I could do it the day I fell out of my wheelchair. She was in the shower.
When you didn't tell her.
Yeah, she was in the shower, and I was leaning forward for something, of course, and I fell out.
Yeah.
But guess what? I got back up in the wheelchair before she came out. I wasn't trying to get yelled at.
Yeah, I think some of my favorite hospital memories and stuff is when you thought you could do something. Because now we laugh about it. You thought you could do something, and there was a disconnect between what your
reality versus limbs, but past. Your
phantom movements. Yeah, you're just like,
right.
I'm on the other side of you, and you're like. I'm like, where's the remote? And you're like, oh, it's over here. And you start to lean. And you just keep leaning. And then you start to fall. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Because I knew. I'm like, I don't think that I can, like, just pick up your limp body. I now know that if you ever just, like, drop dead near me, I probably wouldn't be able to, like, carry your body. Or if I, like, murdered you.
Are you calling me fat friend? And wait, no, murder me? Thinking. Thanks, jeez. What the heck?
If I ever had to murder you.
If you ever had to pull the plug on me, uh-huh. So you won't be one of the six people carrying my coffin. Okay, got it.
I'm not saying you're fat. I'm saying, like, when you're lifting someone up, there's still, like, this, like, there's still a percentage that they are kind of lifting themselves. You're just kind of assisting.
Right.
But when your body's completely limp, like yours was, you're like, I'm no help to you. I'm like, I'm not confident
that I won't pick you down with you up.
Yeah. And then I'd be in trouble with your mom. And I don't want to go there. I don't want to live in that place. Where your mom's mad at me.
Oh, that's a whole nother story. Oh, man. Anyways, it is funny, though.
Yeah.
That, like, I thought I could do mm-hmm. certain things, and it just didn't. It's the other day, that hasn't changed. The other day, I was in the gym, and, well, for physical therapy, their gym.
Oh, okay.
And I was walking on my way out. Yep. Bye, guys. Have a good week. And... out of the corner of my right eye, I see a bar moving really fast. And when I turn my head, it's too late. I run into one of those bars, like pull-up bars at the gym. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I guess I am still blind. I thought I was better. Yeah, the physical therapist was moving the bar out of my face. That's what was happening. But I didn't see it out of the corner of my left eye because my peripheral is gone on that side. Well, I'm still blind. My mom's like, I told you so. I'm like, yes.
But still able to drive. Still able just to drive.
Just turn your head. That's all.
Just putting that out there. Do you turn it like you have a broken neck?
Yeah.
Or do you?
Well, kind of, yeah, because my arm is still dislocated. Like, it's really not easy to look over your left side. Guess what tomorrow is?
Tomorrow is the day. It's the day you went in for surgery. It's been one year. Oh, my gosh. It's been – I can't believe it's been 1 year.
the day my life changed forever.
Like, I literally, I can't even fathom how insane that was. I mean, I can. Like, it feels like yesterday, but the fact that it's gone so fast and then there's just been so much growth, like,
yeah,
insane.
It's like a happy sad for me. Insane. Because clearly I wish I could get my arm back and use that again. But I'm alive and I've learned so much this year and my relationship with Christ has grown so mm-hmm. much this year. So I'm so beyond grateful for that. But so it's like I'm sad, but I'm happy at the same time. Plus there's the, you know, I'm still alive. So.
What are some things that you wish that you knew sooner? I know we've kind of talked about before of like things that we've learned, but what are some things that you wish you knew sooner?
That if you make a mistake and get pregnant outside of marriage, that you do not have to marry that man.
Obviously, back in the day, that was a huge thing, and that was the solution to that. And I feel like that caused a lot of, you know, abusive relationships or, you know, like, it's, so I feel like
right.
you shouldn't, the answer to a mistake is not another Absolutely. Mistake. Not saying that your children are mistakes, but the act of it, of having, you know, a kid before you're married or getting pregnant, like, you already sinned. You don't exactly. need to, like,
right.
I mean, I'm not going right. to, like, because obviously it has worked for some people.
Ruin your life just because you, everything happens. Well, and everything happens for a reason.
Yeah. I mean, like, obviously we have seen, like, it happened for some people, who have, I mean, not a whole lot in my personal life that I've seen who have gotten married out of getting, you know, like in my group, I should say, not, it doesn't slim percentages of success. And I guess it really kind of just depends on the person, but right. in your case, that is something you wished you knew sooner.
Right. What about you? What's something you wish you knew sooner?
Something I wish I knew sooner. All right, let's see. I think that growing up in a Christian home, it's kind of coming out now, like the 90s Christians parents, you know, 90s, early 2000 Christian parents, they were very strict. And you know, with right, that, you had like the right. purity culture.
Not at all.
With the purity culture. And and I think that we're learning a lot of lessons away from that as adults and raising our own kids. I think something I wish I knew sooner as
right.
as a parent and then of a child of strict Christian parents that you can't really like go to the extreme on both sides. Like you can't be like so strict that when they finally get out into the world, they don't know what to do with themselves. And they're very, you know, it's easy right. to manipulate them or sway them or whatever to be of this world. And then if you go to the extreme of like, well, they can do whatever they want to, that's another like probably a big no-no right. too. Like you have to find the happy medium because I think that is something I think I'm still kind of deconstructing too. So yes, I wish I knew it. Maybe I already knew it, but I think that that's something for sure. Another thing I wish I knew sooner
It's kind of like I've always had these kind of like questions. Like, you know, when you're like, oh, you shouldn't question things in the church. You shouldn't question the Bible or anything like that. And I feel like I always had these questions, you know, in your faith. I wish I knew sooner.
Yeah.
That it's okay to be sad. It's okay to not be okay sometimes. I think that there was this idea then growing up mm-hmm. when we were like full on in it. I feel like with our emo music mm-hmm. and our heart, like I feel like there was way more depression in our teenage years. And, you know, obviously now, or maybe it was just more, it's talked about more or more apparent, like mm-hmm. 90s and 2000s. And now we're seeing with our own teenagers now that there is a lot of depression. Yeah. And as a Christian, I kind of, there was always like this, like you have to choose to be happy. You have to, if you're a Christian, then you can't be depressed. Or if you're a Christian, you can't be on medication to help or things like that. And I feel like that is a false narrative to tell people, because obviously there are some cases, yes, that medication can help. Mm-hmm. And I think the phrase choose to be happy is wrong. It's more of you have to fight daily against the sin in your life. And the sin in your life right. is going to look different for someone else in their own lives. It's something specific to you and that you have to fight daily. You have to fight your depression daily. You have to fight to be happy. Because when you say choose to be happy, I feel like that is very it downplays your feelings. It's like it invalidates your feelings. Like, oh, so you're saying I'm choosing to be sad?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Actually came across something like this on Instagram, and we'll totally give a shout out because I think this is so great. So on Instagram, this lady, her Instagram handle is 2_so_a_seed. She's an underscore sister like yourself.
Yay. Welcome to the club.
She actually put out this reel, and I saw it and it was like, that's so great. And it's so great to share that with other Christian women. But a few of her things that she wished she knew sooner was, and I love this one, you don't have to get up at 5 a.m. to be a good Christian woman. Right? Because I feel like that was such a huge thing. Like even really? As an adult woman, like not that it's like that you have to get up super early to have your time with God, to do your right. devotional, to read the Bible, like, sometimes people are not morning people and it makes you not want to do it. If you are forcing yourself to wake up. Yes. I do believe starting your day, it doesn't have to be at 5 a.m. It could be at any time. It could be at any time. And I think that people need to know that that's okay because there you have your morning people and you have night owls.
I miss it.
You miss being a morning person?
Yes, ma'am. I'm getting back into it, though. I've been waking up at 5 a.m. every day.
You know what? You do you, boo. You do you. Because I don't think I will ever enjoy waking up before the sun. Nope.
Well, look. For me, when I used to do it before the stroke, it was if I was not dressed by 9, I felt gross. I felt undone, like I couldn't get my day going. Like it was too late to get dressed and get ready. If I wasn't out of the house doing something by 9, I felt like I was forgetting to do something. So I always wanted to be ready for the day. I would do my exercises.
That might stem from some childhood trauma.
Oh, I don't know if it's childhood trauma, but I think that it's definitely most likely stems from something. The fact that I always feel like I have something because to do.
That's such an extreme response that you feel gross.
Well, it's not just
if you are not, if you're not ready and put together.
Right. Not gross, not in that way. Just I feel like I want to be ready for the day. Unproductive. Yeah. Excuse my words. Okay. But I feel unproductive and I want to be out of the house and ready to go.
Yeah.
I always felt like I had to be at work 15 minutes early, no matter what. I was never late to a job because if I was on time, I was late. I didn't feel put together. I wanted to get there in plenty of time to make sure I had everything with me, get set up. And I don't know if that part, because I was a hairstylist for so long, like you want to arrive early and make sure you have all your proper chemicals and all of that stuff set up and ready to go. So maybe it messed me up a little bit.
Did it cause anxiety?
Not anxiety. I don't know if it's anxiety. I don't know. It wasn't anxiety. It was more of responsible, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Was it more of you didn't want to look irresponsible?
Yes. Yes, and I hate being late. Like, I don't like it at all.
Because it's you don't want to be perceived in the wrong way.
Probably because I care too much what people think about me.
Ah, we've gotten to the root of it.
Okay, Frazier.
I'm going to call this one, like, couch sessions.
Stop it.
We're doing therapy. We're doing therapy up in here. I think, you know, your teens are like, you don't know what to do with your teen years. And then your 20s, you're like, you know, you're figuring out, like, or you're coping. Your 20s are like for coping, I guess. And like,
right,
whatever. And then in your 30s, you're like, that's your psychoanalyzing years. You know, you're like therapizing yourself. If they're not in therapy, you're like really digging deep. I'm like, why am I the way that I am?
I don't do that. I only do that when I'm hanging out with you. And that's not because I'm psychoanalyzing. It's because you're psychoanalyzing my life. I'm content. The past is the past. Who cares why you turn out the way you turn out? You are who you are.
Well, I mean, not necessarily. I think therapy is great for people. And everyone could use some therapy because you can think that the past is the past and that things don't, that it doesn't matter if it has affected you. But I think that those formative years, you know, childhood into teen years, I think that those are what shape us. And if it was in some kind of negative way, you kind of have to undo them because it can affect your relationships, current and future.
I'm going to have to.
Relationship. What you going
to
say?
I'm going to have to disagree with you on this one. I don't think that that therapy is good for everyone. Because sometimes suppressing the past is not necessarily a bad thing.
Giving wrong advice here.
Maybe suppressing the past is good so it doesn't bring up triggers.
Because
there's definitely a certain situation in my life that I don't like talking about. And when it gets brought up, I like to ignore, avoid, and not respond to it.
Which is actually not healthy.
I know it may not be healthy, but
it's a coping mechanism.
Yes, but I'm okay with my coping mechanism. I don't dwell on it. I don't let it change who I am. It doesn't change my attitude towards anything or anyone. It is what it is. And I am who I am. I'm happy. I'm not sad on the inside. It's almost like you're looking for a problem to fix. I'm not looking for any problem to fix. I'm happy with who I am.
I think there's a processing and then there's a healing from it. Do you feel like you have healed from certain things in your past? Like truly healed?
I guess the way I look at it is sometimes not healing from them is what makes you who you are. Kind of like God allows us to go through certain things for a reason. And maybe that reason is to make you who you are and like sympathetic to other situations because you've been through that and you haven't healed, so you can be understanding with other people. I don't think everything should be healed necessarily. Does that make sense?
I see, but I feel like if you were going off on a completely different idea. This is interesting because I do like when we can debate this and get different points of view.
Right.
Would you really like compare and contrast your emotional and mental health versus your physical health? So here you are focusing on healing your body, but mm-hmm. your emotional and your mental past things, you want to like compartmentalize and put a closed door on it because it's easier to focus on healing your physical body than it is the other stuff.
But see, I don't feel that. I don't feel like those things need to be healed is what I'm saying. I feel like
I know, but it's a part of me. Do you have the same mindset for your physical health?
No.
Obviously not, because you are making efforts to heal yourself physically.
Right.
Yeah.
Who cares I'm a little crazy on the inside? If I look good, that's all that matters.
I didn't say you're crazy at all. I didn't say you're crazy on the inside. I'm not saying you're sad on the inside. I truly believe that things that happen in our youth, mm-hmm. That they shape us and kind of trying to understand why. Because like you can take a person who has never really like looked at certain things in their childhood, or they have suppressed it, like childhood abuse or something like that, mm-hmm. or you know, like something along those lines, and they've suppressed it. But when you suppress things, they will come up in certain ways, whether it's a relationship with, you know, their significant other, they're gonna be triggered in a way. And I think that that also comes out in your parenting as well. And I think that if I take it back to this lady that I found on Instagram, she said parenting is equal parts refining me and guiding my kids. So say you, for instance, you had a lot of childhood trauma. Maybe it wasn't physical abuse. Maybe it was emotional abuse or, mm-hmm. you know, sexual abuse or something like that. And then when you're raising your kids, mm-hmm. there's a certain situation and it triggers you because you never healed from that childhood trauma in your life. And you're like, why am I reacting this way? That's so crazy. You know what I mean? Not crazy. I don't want to use that term. But
right.
Yet I believe
the understanding – yes. So understanding your triggers totally and understanding where that's coming from. But do you have to go through to a therapist to figure that out? No. But I think a lot of yours also stems from you're the type of person that you need closure. Mm-hmm. You need answers. I don't. I'm okay without closure. I think for me, because if I give it to God, to me, that's closure.
That's just the Mary Kay and Ashley detective shows in me. But no, I mean, I don't mean it. I don't mean it like that. I don't mean it like you need closure for things, because I think that there needs to be healing for things. Because understanding things about yourself, like, oh, I'm triggered because of this, people can tend to use that as an excuse or a scapegoat to justify their behaviors. Well, I had, you know, once you figured out and you pinpointed, well, it's because of this, then there's no growth. There's no growth because mm-hmm. You may acknowledge your trigger, but you're not doing anything to not be triggered by something like that again.
I'm not picking on.
Right, but you think that you should go to a therapist to.
No, I'm not.
No, but you think that you should have to go to a therapist to work on that.
I think talking. Because really, when you go to a therapist, what they're doing is you're talking through things. And then they will give you, like, helpful ways to mm-hmm. work with those things or to help. Like, some severe things, there are different types of therapy right. that you could go to, like specializing in trauma, things like that. I've gone to therapy where, like, I'm pretty much the only one talking. I'm like, I think this – like, I come to the conclusions
right.
on my own, and then I'm like, is that accurate? Like, do you also see that from the outside perspective? Like, things like that. But for some people, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to look at it. They don't want to dissect anything because it's opening
right.
wounds.
But the fact that
you don't want to deal with.
Right.
I'm saying right. this is a general statement. I'm not specifying you.
No, but the fact that you want to open those wounds, to me, that's a problem in itself. Like, I gave it to God and it's done. I don't know. We're just different in that way. You like to figure things out. I like to just let go and let God. And there's nothing wrong with each of our processes. It's just some people benefit from going to therapy and some don't.
I think I don't know. I disagree. Because I think that...
I was going to say you still disagree with me.
I still disagree because I think that...
You think that what?
That I have seen in so many cases in family, in friends, and even in strangers that therapy is beneficial. It could be beneficial if they went. But then you see, like, I've seen shows like, remember, you probably don't remember, Tori Spelling did this horrific reality series of when her husband cheated on her and they were trying to work things out. She's like, mm-hmm. let's let the cameras in. And like, that was probably just the biggest mistake. But she's been in therapy for years. And I think that is where...
Yeah.
The God part of it comes in because, yes, you got to work the things out. You got to talk it out. You got to have, you know, it's the same as going to like a pastor. You got to get those things out. You got to talk it out. You can't have it bottled up. And then you're like, once you get it all out on the table, then you have to let God take care of it. Because I know you can go through your whole life and not even realize. Think about, remember in previous episodes, I didn't even realize that I was in a very toxic, abusive relationship until
mm-hmm.
in the last few years, because I put that relationship on a pedestal of, and then I was also taking blame. It's a process. It's a huge process and it can take years. And then you're like, oh, wait a minute. I wasn't the only one at fault with things, the other person was at fault. And then you're like, you can really like, oh, wow, I needed some self-reflection time. I did that. Oh, now it's not, the blame is not all on me. And then you see where God
right.
took you out of a situation. And you gain perspective. Right. And then you're like, God, this one's all you. This one's all yours. You know what I mean? Because sometimes people hold on to mm-hmm. things when they shouldn't hold on to things. And then they don't, but they don't even realize that they're holding on to things, mm-hmm. and they don't know how to let them go. So therapy and, you know, good Christian counsel. I mean, there's Christian therapists out there, but good Christian counsel through your pastor, through good Christian friends, get in your Bible and be like, give it to God. Yes. Those combined mm-hmm. effort. Yes. I think is very healthy. Very healthy. I'm not saying.
Right. And I'm not saying it's unhealthy. I'm not
saying like you just don't want to open up wounds that you feel you have gotten over.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not saying like you're feeling like you're doing really well in life. I'm saying what drives people to therapy is realizing there's something going on inside of them that they never dealt with, and it is disrupting their life. That's where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying go search for a problem because you're bored. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, and that's where I feel like it's healthy and beneficial for therapy and God. And I know mm-hmm. so many people that would agree with that because of things that have happened in their life. And it's just as beneficial as doing physical therapy.
Right.
You got to heal your mind and your heart as well.
Okay. On the next episode of Dr. Phil Meets Frasier.
Dr. Phil Meets Frasier. Yeah. We're going to call these couch sessions because Ashley Reed here took all of 2 psychology classes.
AKA Dr. Phil.
I took psychology.
I'll be the Frasier.
I never watched Dr. Phil. Did Dr. Phil even take psychology classes? He's not a real doctor. He's just a dude with some advice
mm-hmm.
and a show and no hair. Yeah. Anyway. So we kind of wanted to also... And we'll do, I don't even know if we have time. It'll be a really long episode. We might have to make this like a part 2. Should we make it a part 2?
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. Well, thank you guys.
Yes. So fun.
You can find us at Uncommon Faith Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. I promise you we will have more content to share. We've just been a little busy. And you can email us at uncommonfaithpodcast@gmail.com. We would love for you guys to weigh in on this pro-therapy or anti-therapy as a Christian or a non-Christian. It doesn't really matter. We'd love for you to weigh in on this. Give your opinion. We're opening up the lines, but not really because we're not live. You can find me at ashley.reed. Where can we find you, Amber?
You can find me at amber_n_g on Instagram.
On the gram.
On the gram.
Are you still private?
I am still private.
I'm still private too. We'll see how long
we go. But my Foot Finder account. I'm just kidding.
Oh my God.
Just kidding.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, please come back next week for part 2 of this episode, where we get, where we talk about misconceptions out there. Cause I think that these are really funny misconceptions of a Christian. So tune in next time, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.